The following podcast has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
If you want to listen to some good gaga about the wrestling business, you've got to listen to Perched on the Top Rope with Lee. I listen to it every day and night, even when I'm on the loo. See ya, folks. Bushwhacker Luke.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer from Sports Kita, Ringside News, the Daily DDT. I am Lee Walker, and this is the first show of 2025. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a special guest. I have Dylan Hines from World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling. Dylan, how are you doing today?
Doing wonderful, Lee. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Fans, if you remember, Dylan was our last guest in 2024, who put us over the top on Chartable, making us the number one wrestling podcast in the United States. Dylan, first, I got to thank you for doing that. I had an incredible time with you, and I am glad that you're back today.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Great to be back. And that's awesome that y'all were able to hit number one, you know?
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and you know, everything we talked about. Now, you have a fantastic show with Big Time Wrestling, and you have a show coming up Saturday, March 8th in, I don't want to pronounce this wrong, Chillicothe,
Ohio. It's a Native American Shawnee word, which, well, it's a derivative from that. I'm a history buff, so I'll give a little history on that real quick. The original word was Chillicothe, which means principal town, which was like where like the chiefs were from and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was like four or five of those Chillicothes. There was one in Xenia, Ohio, Xenia. And a couple other places, there was different Chillicothes, which the English turned that word and from Chillicothe to Chillicothe.
Okay.
But before it was Chillicothe, it was Chillicothe. So.
Okay. Wow.
To become Chillicothe.
Thank you for that little piece of history right there. That's quite incredible. Didn't know that.
Right. Which the town also, for those that are listening to this and saying, well, I want to go to this event, make a weekend out of it, and here's why. Another brief little history tidbit about the town. They actually recently became a World Heritage Site, which is equivalent to what the Egyptian pyramids are. Reason being is they believe that was the start of a starting point for civilization, as in that area is the Hopewell Mound Center and stuff, you know, Mound City, which was Native American mounds dating back thousands to even millions of years ago. So,
oh wow, that's incredible, fans. You've got a family-friendly weekend here in Ohio that weekend of March 8th, Saturday. Now, Dylan, I've always loved your shows because you go above and beyond when it comes to talent, but you go above and beyond for the fans with your show. You have these meet and greets before the show, and for this particular event, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., fans, you have the opportunity to meet everybody on this show. And Dylan, I'm going to list off some of the names that you have. Honky Tonk Man, Abdullah the Butcher, Mick Foley, Marty Jannetty, Savio Vega, Jake Hager, Enzo Amore, Mr. Hughes, Too Cold Scorpio, Shane Douglas, Scott Norton. I mean, the list goes on.
Kevin Von Erich.
A very rare name to appear. Yeah.
And then tonight we announced, we're recording this on Monday night. So tonight we announced Hillbilly Jim. So, you know, last week we had a little bit of a setback with some talent cancellations and stuff. But like I always do, like I mentioned to somebody, I said in 2023, we lost out on X-Pac, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we lost out on X-Pac in 2023, guess what we came out with?
What'd you grab?
Sting.
Oh.
So every time we have every time we have talent cancellations, you know,
Yeah, and Hillbilly Jim is one of those rare names.
Right.
He doesn't do really many wrestling appearances anymore, or meet and greets and stuff like that. So incredible for world class or professional big time wrestling to.
WWE Hall of Fame legend. He was featured on WWE's Legends House, which I believe we could call it a hit series. Everybody loved that series on the WWE Network. Even people who don't sit around and watch wrestling. There were some people who would just watch it, for the fun of it. It was good programming.
Yeah,
And
it really
then
was.
if people are out there, then they're country music fans, Hillbilly Jim is the host of Hillbilly Jim's Moonshine Matinee, which is aired on twice, I believe, twice on Saturdays on the Sirius XM Outlaw Country channel, which is channel 62, I believe, off the top of my head. Which is a really good channel. If you love country music, they play Johnny Cash on there, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, all that good old school country. And then during that matinee, they play a little bit of blues. They play a little bit of bluegrass, they play a little bit of rock, a little bit of everything, So, but he's been busy doing all that. But now in 2025, he did one appearance last year, which was over at my friend Jack Bryan's store over in Queens, New York, the Wrestling Universe. And then he did a virtual, which wasn't public, so people couldn't come and meet him, but they could send their items in for KNS WrestleFest, Ken Povetkin, the great folks over there. But this time he's going to be making an appearance in Chillicothe, Ohio, with his first convention appearance since 2018, from what he told me. And, we got two gigantic, rare names that fans ask for a lot. Like, if you look at the list, like, there's all these conventions out there, right? Everybody on their want list, and I'm sure you've seen these want lists before. You follow these conventions and stuff, with your podcast and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Von Erich's usually a name that's listed on that want list, right? And the other one's
100%.
Hillbilly Jim. So we're bringing them, two of them, and we got Mick Foley, and we're working on some other big stars and stuff. I'm telling you, it's going to be one hell of an event. If you're a wrestling fan, whether you live in Ohio or if you live in any of the other 50 states or territories, or if you live anywhere in the world, Saturday, March the 8th, the place to be is Chillicothe, Ohio, the OUC Shoemaker Center. It's going to be Fan Fest from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mick Foley is going to be doing a Q&A from 5 to 6 p.m., which part of that Q&A, he's going to have some special guests. One of those special guests that's going to be sitting down with him for the little bit will be Abdullah the Butcher. What a moment there. Abdullah the Butcher and Cactus Jack
Incredible.
together again. But also about them together again, they're going to be doing a photo op earlier that day during the Fan Fest. And then that night, we're going to be doing the Ohio Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. And that's going to be a big thing and stuff. Very announced that Robbie Starr, who's worked for World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling for the last 20 years, he's been a very loyal supporter of ours and stuff. And every time we've had an event, he's usually been part of those events. He's gonna be inducted in the Hall of Fame, as well as having his last match that night. And then we got some other Hall of Famers we're working on. Mick Foley will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's a scoop here for the podcast. Haven't announced that yet, but Mick Foley is going to be into that Hall of Fame. And so many other great things. And there's going to be the Super Show that night starting at 6:30 p.m. And Hillbilly Jim's told me that he's going to be coming out and saying hello to all the great wrestling fans during the Super Show. So what a wonderful day, We got meet and greet where you get to get autographs and photo ops from all your favorite wrestling Hall of Famers, legends, and stars. Premium ticket holders get to listen to a great Q&A with Mick Foley and some of his great friends from the wrestling world, Get to see the Ohio Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. And then you also get to go and see the Super Show. And the best part about it all, you get the Fan Fest and the Super Show. You could get it for just $20. That's the cheapest ticket. General admission, gets you both those. Or if you want to get the Fan Fest, or the not the Fan Fest, the Q&A, for just $5 more, so $25, that's the cheapest of the premium tickets. You can
So,
get the Q&A as well. So for $25, you're getting three events in one gigantic day. You can't beat that price, and I don't think you can find a deal like that anywhere else.
Dylan, honestly, you cannot, because for $25, you have basically like a 10-hour, like a whole day event, a family-friendly oriented professional wrestling event with its own wrestling meet and greet, Q&A, a Hall of Fame. And on top of that, you also get professional wrestling matches to boot. You
Right.
can't go, you can't go wrong for $25 for all of that. You can't. There's that is unheard of
Right.
in the wrestling world today. Unheard of. And one of the things you did bring up was you had some unfortunate events that occurred last week. Some of the names I did not bring up involve the NWA, which is the Rock and Roll Express, and Violent J from ICP.
I actually have a story on that. I actually got to personally connect with Violent J. So I got a story on that. So also we lost Kerry Morton, which he's
His
an independent wrestler, but still he's the son of Ricky Morton. He's a good hand, but
Yeah, so
independent wrestler. And then we lost David Crockett. The only reason we lost David Crockett, he's a promoter. As his family was the promoters at one point, outside of Vince McMahon, you wanted to work for Crockett,
oh, 100%.
He, told us, he said, well, with the loss of rock and roll, he didn't feel that there was the, it was the best bang for the buck, if we brought him in, with how much it would have costed and, the travel and all that stuff,
Yeah.
He said we could put it towards someone else, make more money, So far we've added Hillbilly Jim in, which we've had rock and roll before, so not to downgrade them, but the fans have seen them 3 times over the last couple years. We've had Kerry Morton. Violent J has t I've talked to him. He is going to be doing a video this week for us. What happened was he wasn't actually pulled, so I actually was told a couple different stories on him, but the final story I got from him directly was that his tour manager informed him that he had a event on March the 8th. He said he would have loved to have made the event. He wanted to come and meet Kevin Von Erich, because Violent J, yeah, he's been in the wrestling world, he's in the music world, but also if you've listened to any of his interviews, he's not just a wrestling personality, he's a wrestling fan. So he wanted to get to see, Kevin Von Erich and Mick Foley and Butcher and all these other great guys that are going to be there, But he said he hates that he's going to miss out on the event and stuff, but he's going to definitely come in the future. So, Chillicothe fans, eventually, hopefully on the next one, we're going to have Violent J. And actually, when we spoke, we had brought up Shaggy, So maybe we'll get to, We lost out on having just Violent J at this one because Shaggy wouldn't have been part of this one. But maybe that's, on the brighter side. But the next one, maybe we'll get to have both him and Shaggy. So we'll get the ICP together,
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Whereas now we're replaced them with Hillbilly Jim, which I think knocks all that out of the water,
Oh,
Just
yeah.
because WWE Hall of Fame legend. He was up there with Hulk Hogan, like we were talking about before we came on here, He was the second in command babyface next to Hulk Hogan
Yeah, he
in the
really
80s.
was.
He had all that stuff, like the Slammies and stuff. He's big in the music world. Where we
Yeah.
had a guy that was big in the music world for the genre, of the rap and stuff now. And I think it's better for Ohio, Because in Ohio, a lot of people are country, especially that part of Ohio, a lot of people are country music fans, bluegrass fans. We got Hillbilly Jim now, which sure, listening to him, if most people have Sirius XM nowadays, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd say 90% of the country uses Sirius XM in some form or matter, whether they're listening to it on their phone or radio, their computer, their Alexa devices, whatever it is,
Yeah,
Sirius
100%.
XM, and the station he's on is one of the popular stations out there. While I'm scrolling through, I'll listen to a little bit of the pop rocks on SiriusXM. I listen to a little bit of 70s, 80s, 90s, the 2000s, 2010s, if you know. But when I look for the country stations, my country stations on there, I listen to Curious Country, which is all right, I listen to Prime Country, which is like that 90s, 2000s, like the Toby Keiths and stuff, I listen to Y2 Country. But also, the other one is what was it called? That country station,
Oh God.
Outlaw Country. Outlaw Country. That's what they call
Yeah,
it.
there we go. Yeah.
Channel 62, guys. But and part of the deal with bringing Hillbilly Jim on is we're not just getting a talent. Hillbilly Jim told me that he's going to plug the event and talk about it on his radio show, So that's a
Yeah.
lot better. That's a lot better deal. We're bringing on a guy that's gonna pretty much have built in, people all over the country who listen to that station will be able to hear about our event. So,
Yeah, and
which they're asking, they asked for the us to send them a poster and stuff, so we'll have that to them soon, and the ticket link and all that stuff as well. So it's not just gonna be a Joe Schmo, throwing it up and saying, "Hey, come check me out at this event." We got a guy that's an icon in the wrestling world, but also an icon in the country music world.
yeah.
Gonna be, talking about the event and plugging it through SiriusXM, which, whether you have a radio or whether you don't, you can have SiriusXM. It's like YouTube,
Oh, absolutely. Fans can get the best of both worlds there for at your show with that. It's incredible.
Right.
Now, when it comes to Carrie
And
and
I'll say this real quick. Sorry to interrupt. But if you think about it this way, the clowns, the ICP, they're big in that Midwest territory, right?
Yeah.
In like the Michigan, Pennsylvania, Indiana, that stuff, right? Which
Yeah.
is great. So that would have been great to have had them. But also Hillbilly Jim, him being on that country music station. There's country music fans all over the world, and all over the country, that'll be able to hear about this event, where Violent J could have shared it on his Instagram, which would have been wonderful, and that'll be great for the next event, hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll also, have for this event, we have this, being plugged on that radio station. So,
Yeah. Absolutely. It's gonna it's incredible.
yeah, when I talked to him and he said he would do that for us, that was, a gigantic plus mark, for he's not cheap to bring out, guys, but also, that was a gigantic green flag of I definitely need to book this guy, 'cause where else are we gonna get somebody who could plug us on SiriusXM, that,
It's amazing exposure.
yeah, and you can't really I tried to figure out how to do out. You can't really do advertising through SiriusXM, so this is like the only open door there is, so
Yeah. And hopefully, that can lead to like more in the future, with
right.
that, truly incredible. And you'd brought up like last week you had a couple of like mishaps with the show and this is something that is out of your control. You did have a couple talents get pulled. When I refer to that, I mean like the Rock and Roll Express. And was Kerry Morton part of that too?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Actually, I'll say this. Robert wasn't part of it, and David Crockett wasn't. What it was a domino effect, right?
Yeah.
Kerry pulled got his dad to pull out, right? Which Kerry's got, if he's listening to this, you got a little heat with us now, Kerry, and whatever. But with Ricky pulling out, I hate it for Robert, but it's hard to, have Robert if you don't have Ricky.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing against Robert. We love Robert, but if you can't have one, it's hard to have the other,
They've been a tag team for so long that they go hand in hand.
Right. It's kind of like having One Fantastics, for example. Dad and Tommy, if they were, doing signings together, they would have had gigantic success, whereas Dad on his own, he has good people, amount of people come up meeting, but it's nothing compared to the tag team,
Yeah,
Woman's already
totally
had Rock and
understandable.
Roll 3 times. Just having Robert by himself on this one would have, I don't know
Yeah.
how well it would have done. It wouldn't have, like David Crockett said, you got to look for, what's going to be the best usage for the money. So with losing the Rock and Roll, David Crockett, one of my big things about booking David Crockett, like I told you, green flags, right? One of his big green flags was him bringing those Crockett Royal Tag Team Championships to the event, right? Which were used in the 80s and stuff, and we were
Yeah.
going to be able to use them for photo ops for the Rock and Roll Express, right?
Would have been incredible.
Right. But without Rock and Roll there, it kind of diminished his value as well. So hopefully we can have them all back in the future,
Yeah.
But, unfortunately this time we if that idea failed, so
Yeah,
hopefully in
no.
the future we can, we can have all of them again.
I do have to ask, as a promoter in this whole thing, how discouraging is it to you as the promoter when things like this are out of your hands and it happens?
How discouraging. Only time I've ever been discouraged by it was that the when Matt Riddle pulled his stunt, which we talked about on the last episode of your podcast, where you got number one for it.
Which fans you can go back and listen to on
Yep.
Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher,
That was
Podbean.
discouraging. That was day of, which was complete bullshit. Pardon the French. I don't know if we're supposed to be PG here or not, but that was
No, you're
complete
okay.
bullshit. But, I
Yeah.
put it like this, slap on the wrist, but it gives me motivation, right? Like Rock and Roll, great talent, right? Violent J, great talent. Kerry Morton, great talent. David Crockett, great guest to have, But look what we came out swinging with.
You pulled a diamond out.
Right. And that's the thing that people can say about us. We don't sit there and say, "Oh, we're shit out of luck," and yeah, it's a hit, but all of a sudden, we're able to pull out that. And I'm still waiting to have him confirmed, but I'm working on Henry and Phineas as well, right? And the Godwins, the three guys together, hadn't made an appearance since WWF. So imagine if we were able to pull them off, and have all three, Henry, and Phineas with Hillbilly.
Yeah, pulling with the
Gigantic.
Godwins. Yeah,
Yeah, that would be gigantic.
he was managing them in the mid
Right.
'90s in the WWF. You can never
Right.
forget that.
Yeah. So, out right there. We're working on some other talents and stuff. One of them's pretty big, But if everything comes together, it's all promoting is all a domino effect, right? Either you can line up all the dominoes and everything's straight up, right? Or
Yeah.
sometimes a domino will knock down a couple other dominoes, or just depends. So on this, a couple dominoes got knocked down. We're going to restack those dominoes, And I think it's going to be for the betterment of the fans. Whereas Rock and Roll's been there 3 times, we've had Henry before, but we've never had Henry and Phineas. So if we get them, that'll be bigger than Rock and Roll, in my opinion. They were tag team champions and stuff, and everything.
Yeah, dude.
So and then with Henry together, all three, who would have thought, 30 years after the fact. And it hadn't been confirmed yet for Henry or Phineas, but I'm probably expected it tomorrow. I probably should have confirmation. But imagine all three together. I think that's going to be, gigantic.
And that's an unheard of photo op and autograph. To be honest with you, like fans don't have that.
Like Rock and Roll, they're at a lot of conventions, right?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I've
So
seen them quite a bit.
how this goes, right? Rock and Roll's been at a lot of conventions, but you hadn't get to see the Godwins at a lot of conventions, right?
But not together.
Right, you haven't got to see them together at a lot of conventions, and
No.
especially all three of those guys, that group,
Yeah.
at a convention. That's never been done before.
No, it hasn't. And it's
So
that's incredible.
there, I would say that replaces Rock and Roll and Crockett, right?
Yeah, I would agree 100%.
And then when he lost Violent J for this one, but he's given me the promise that as soon as today, like, hopefully he can do like the next one, you know. But he said he's gonna definitely try to make it for the next one, you know. And he said he's gonna get us with Shaggy, you know, so we could bring both of them. So hopefully, you know, although we lost Violent J with a promise like that, you know, that we could get both of them soon, you know.
And that's another rare thing for that, have both
Right.
of them, you know?
That's something to look forward to for the future, you know.
Yeah. Fans are
Missed out
gonna.
on it this time, but you know, this time you're only getting one of them. Imagine how, you know, I think fans should be happy, you know, that there's that, you know, promise that we'll have both of them eventually. And
Yeah.
also, we're working on some other talents for the event. So the talents haven't stopped being added for the event. So with all that said and done, I think the event now is going to be a lot better than it was beforehand.
Yeah, and I mean, you're still, like you just said, you're still adding talents to an already stacked card, a stacked meet and greet convention. On top of that, you're getting a Q&A with Mick Foley, and he's going to have surprise guests on there. You've got a Hall of Fame, and you've got professional wrestling still to end out this whole amazing day, you know, for the reunion. For All Mankind, World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling.
Yes, sir.
Incredible. You know, and I'll say this, you've been around with promoting and things like that. There's a lot of times when a wrestling show will have a cancellation and just not even replace the person or get an equal name to the person that's not going to be part of the show. You go and you get bigger talent, or you go and you find super rare talent to replace the talent that's being lost.
Right, that's the thing they could say about us. Whenever we have a bump in the road, you know, we
You
don't just
totally
sit
make it up.
there and, you know, yeah, it's always well made up. Instead of, you know, yeah, it's a hit, you know, but we come back fighting.
Yeah.
The thing about us, like 2023, for example, when we lost to X-Pac. No offense to X-Pac, but I think Sting is far, you know,
Yeah.
more larger than whatever than X-Pac, you know. Just, you know, look at X-Pac, or he's a great talent at these conventions and stuff, has a good line and stuff. But then you got Sting, who is the headliner for some of these conventions. Like WrestleCon's had him as a headliner, you know, for
Yeah.
some of
He
their
was
events and everything. So.
a headliner for Philadelphia alongside Ronda Rousey.
Right, he's gonna be a headliner for Indianapolis, I believe he's booked for that, and
Yeah.
I know it hadn't been announced, but he's supposed to be a headliner for some of their other events, I believe. So there's that. And he was a headliner for WrestleCade. Sting's, you know, a gigantic name.
He's a headliner.
Yeah.
That's it. He's a headliner. He's a guy that you have as the, you know, whether it's top of the card or, you know, he's, you know, for these meet and greet conventions, he's the, you know, the top guy that's booked for him. And you had him in 2023, and if I remember correctly, you had him in 2018 in Syracuse, New York. He
No, we didn't have him in Syracuse.
okay, I don't know where I met him then. All right, but I mean
We've had Sting at WrestleCade, and then we had him in 2022 at our event in Chillicothe, and then we had him in 2000 and so 2021 we had him in no 2023 we had him in Chillicothe, 2021 we had him at WrestleCade in
Okay.
Winston-Salem, and then when we had Sting before that, we had him in, I think, 2016 in Chillicothe. So we've worked with him 3 times.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And fans, this is a show you don't want to miss out if you're in like that tri-state area around Ohio.
Or if
March
you're anywhere in
8th.
the world, you know.
Yeah, anywhere. Drive to the show, get a plane ticket. Saturday, March 8th. It's a whole day event. It's a family fun, family friendly event. You get the chance to meet all sorts of superstars that have been part of WCW, WWF. You even have former UFC Mark Coleman that's going to be there.
Which that's huge as well.
Yeah.
Plus,
That's some.
Jake Hager's there, which he's our champion, the Triple Crown of Wrestling champion. But he was Bellator, you
Yep.
know,
Former
and he's a
Bellator.
gigantic collegiate wrestler. He's getting ready to be going into the Dan Gable Luthez Hall of Fame out in, I think it's Nebraska. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's over in Nebraska. But he's big on the card, you know. He's in our main event. We got Heath Slater and Enzo. They're going to be wrestling each other on this card, actually.
That's going to
And
be a
tons of
good
other
match.
great stuff for this event. Like I said, everybody from around the world, March the 8th, the Mecca of the wrestling world that day, Chillicothe, Ohio, the Shoemaker Center. Where else could you meet all those great talents, you know?
Exactly.
And then the other thing is, if you are coming from out of the country, because I from another country, you know, from my experience, several people will go and do this. They'll go and they'll hit up the our event, you know, in March. It's usually like this. They'll hit up our event. They'll go to Big Event, right, in New York, which is the following weekend usually,
Yep.
and then they'll go to they'll go do some other stuff. Usually, they're here for about a month. And then they're going to end up going to WrestleMania, and they'll end up going to the Squared Circle Expo and over in Indiana as well. So, what better place to start off that month trip, you know, than Chillicothe, Ohio, Saturday, March the 8th, where you get to meet Kevin Von Erich, you get to meet Mick Foley, you get to meet Hillbilly Jim, you get to meet Honky Tonk Man, you get to meet Jake Hager, Vampiro, all these great talents. Another thing I didn't mention for the wrestling card, we got Vampiro taking on Bryant Huff. Last month in Waverly, Ohio, Bryant Huff put on a great showcase in the opening contest against Too Cold Scorpio. So much so he gained Too Cold's respect, where Too Cold pretty much passed the torch, shook his hand, you know, and everything in front of the crowd. And Too Cold's coming back for this one, but this time Bryant's going to be wrestling against Vampiro. Vampiro, great luchador wrestler, you know.
Oh,
Wrestled
yeah.
all over the world, has a gigantic following with that, you know, and also he's got a gigantic following with the Juggalo community and everything. But he's going to be
Yeah.
wrestling against Bryant Huff. Where did you get to see the thing we posted with Bryant Huff wrestling Scorpio? If not, you need to check it out, because Bryant Huff he has a great athletic background where he's does volleyball and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the his move set. There was one move where he jumped on Too Cold Scorpio's chest while Too Cold was standing up, right? And did like a, it was like a drop kick, but it was completely different than anything I'd ever seen in my entire life before. It was like he stood up there and then bounced off of his chest and came right back. So it was, you know, I've never
Wow.
seen nothing like that before. But this guy's got a heck of a move set, and honestly, Bryant and another one of our talents are supposed to be going to a seminar coming up with Gabe Sapolsky over in Indianapolis, which is I think February the 2nd. But they're supposed to go over there, and honestly, I could see Gabe looking at this Bryant Huff guy, you know, and Josh Benson's the other talent. And I could see him saying, "Hey, WWE. Here's some two here's two guys right here," because both of them are awfully young. I believe Bryant's in his early 20s, and I know Josh is as well. I think Josh is like 23 years old or 24,
Oh, wow.
and I think Bryant's around the same age. And like I said, Bryant gained Too Cold's respect with that match that he had with Too Cold, and he's a phenomenal talent already. I could see these guys being in the like the next 10 years, I'm gonna go ahead and make a prediction, or a spoiler, you know, like Paul Heyman likes to say. I could see them being the top of the wrestling business, two of the guys that are at the top. Whether it be in AEW, whether it be in WWE, they're gonna eventually get signed, and you know.
Hey.
Like Josh Benson, so I haven't mentioned some of the stuff he's done, but we've had him in some phenomenal matches as well, and we've had him against a lot of the legends and stuff, and they've all enjoyed having their matches with him as well. And you know, that's what's good about our events. We use some independent wrestling talent, you know, but it's not just a you know, it's not an indie show. I would never call it an indie show. I would call it. It's much more than that. That's why we call it the super show, you know, pro wrestling super show. Because we have independent talent, but they're wrestling against these legends, Hall of Famers, and superstars, right? Who's been on the TV, you know, and everything. They've been to the top where these independent stars get to wrestle against them. That's why when I get reached out to by independent talent, I have to turn down a lot of them, unfortunately. Love to have them, but unfortunately, I have to turn down a lot of them because I don't have the room on the card for them. Because mainly we use the Hall of Famers, Legends, and Stars for the card.
Yeah.
But if you're an independent talent and you are one of the best, where you're able to stick out to us, then you're going to be able to get that experience of wrestling against these guys who have been at the top of the game.
Yeah.
Whether it
And
be a. We've had Bushwhacker Luke on our card, you know, we've had. Too Cold on our cards. We got Vampiro coming up on our card. And all these other great talents. Jake Hager, Heath Slater, Enzo, Shane Douglas. List goes on, you know, of guys
yeah.
that we've had wrestling on our cards. Where if you get to wrestle against one of them or even being involved with the match with one of them, whether it be a tag team partner or whatever, you're going to get to learn a lot, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, as an independent talent, what's, you know, with all those legends
Right.
there's a lot of advice you can get too.
That's the other thing. Sometimes I'll have a indie guy pick up, like Austin Jefferson, one of the talents we've used. He's another great hand. I had him pick up. I think it was Jinder Mahal last time. Maybe a couple other talents. Reason I have some of these guys pick up talent, like the guys flying in and stuff, these WWE Hall of Famers, Legends, and Stars, is because they can sit in the car, you know. We're 45 minutes from Columbus and about the same from Cincinnati, maybe a little bit over that, maybe an hour and a half. But you get to sit in the car with these guys, and you'd be stupid not to ask these guys for advice.
And pick their brain,
Yeah, you have all that time. You're held. They're in a hostage. Not in a hostage situation, but you know what I mean. It's not like they can hop out of the car and say, "I'm not going to talk to you anymore." You could sit there and have those conversations with those guys, get all that stuff in. You know, where if they ask them that night, "Hey, you mind watching my match and telling me what you thought about it on the ride home?" You know, or on the ride to the hotel or whatever. You know. You know. It helps them out a lot instead of just, you know, another great talent we use, Drew Skills. I always want to give a spotlight to some of them guys, that's independent talents that we have on our cards, where we always give the big, of course, the gigantic spotlight to the WWE Hall of Famers, Legends, and Stars, because, you know, no offense to the independent guys, but that's what's drawing these people into our events, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
But last event we had with the Matt Riddle situation, the card got screwed up a little bit. Well, we needed an opponent for the main event. We ended up doing Jake Hager against Drew Skills that night. And I tell you, my dad watched that match. And when he watched the match, he said, "Man, that could have made invented any Crockett card." Just because, you know, it had that old school feel to it. And them guys, man, Drew's up there in age. Unfortunately, you know, he never got that opportunity that he deserved, you know, to get to be in the WWE or any of that stuff, you know. Hell of a hand, though. And him and Jake Hager tore the house down where at the end of the match, the crowd was given the standing ovation. They actually rushed the ring after Jake Hager won the belt, you know, that night. And everybody was going absolutely insane. But it was, you know, that
Man,
night
incredible.
He caught Dad's eye. Another great talent we used, Jake Oman, you know, never really got that true opportunity he deserved to be in a WWE ring or the AW or wherever, you know. But phenomenal talent. We only use the best. If you can catch Dad, and that's the thing, if you can catch Dad's eye, and Dad says, I could, like Dad said, when he was working with Joe Blanchard, you know, Southwest back in the 80s, Joe told him this. And I was, when I was talking to Violent J the other day, I was watching some of his JCW Lunacy. I don't really watch a whole lot of wrestling. I watched the Monday Night Raw episode debut on Netflix. That was the first time I'd watched Raw in a long time. I don't watch it. I don't watch any wrestling product. But I watched the JCW Lunacy, and I could see this. There were some guys on there that could make big, you could make some big money with or make some money with, right? Joe
Yeah.
Blanchard said this. A promoter sees three can see three different things about a guy. A, big money. B, little money. Or C, no money, right?
Yeah.
Like Dad, he could see whether you're gonna you could make money. That night, when Joe Blanchard saw Dad wrestling, he saw Big Bunny. He gave Dad equivalent to what he gave to Bruiser Brody. And
Incredible.
Bruiser Brody asked Dad, and Dad and Bruiser Brody were his friends. He asked Dad, because Bruiser Brody was Brody, you know, main event talent, you know. What he asked Dad what he got, and Dad ended up telling him it was the same as Bruiser Brody, where Bruiser Brody ended up quitting the territory because he got upset because he knew he was a main event talent. And Dad was just starting out on his wrestling career, so he was on the preliminary matches, you know, the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
But Joe Blanchard saw that in Dad. Big money, you know.
Incredible.
Where these talents we use, we either can see that they should have got to that, they should have gotten the opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
Or they're going to get that, or if they play all the cards right, the dominoes drop how they should drop. The younger guys we use on our cards, you know, that's never been signed, we can see that they're going to get signed eventually. If everything
Yeah.
adds up in the perfect world, you know. Of course, there's bumps along the way that could halter that. But if they play their cards right, you know, Dad doesn't put a stamp of approval on everybody, you know.
Oh, I believe that.
He's hard. I'll say this. He's a gigantic critic, and he's very hard to impress. Because he's watched wrestling his entire life since he was 5 years old. So that would he's 64 now, so that was for 59 years he's watched wrestling. He's seen great wrestling and he's seen shit wrestling, right?
Yeah.
He knows a good wrestler and he knows a bad wrestler. Very hard to impress though. But if you can catch his eye, and honestly if you can catch my eye, right? There's some talents that he don't know about that I'll see, right? And I'll say, we need to add this person to the card. Give them a match, right? To see how they are, right? And either I'll say, hey, let's bring this talent back, or I'll say,
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We'll wait a while, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, see if they improve, and then, you know, maybe 6 months later we can bring them back.
Right.
I get that. I get
but,
that.
But, you know, I saw a post the other day. I think it was from Bob Evans, Brutal Bob Evans, you know, that's a great hand. I've never got to work with him. Would love to work with him. Just never had the opportunity. But he posts a lot of good stuff on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And I believe one of the things he posted was promoters, what is the big halt in booking talent, right? We get tons of messages every day, right? Hey, would love to work on your card. Hey, would love to work on your card. Hey, would love to work on your card. Emails and Facebook messages, right? Mm-hmm. With all these pictures, all this stuff. What's the big thing? One of our things is based on the card. But if you're good enough for us to say, hey, you know what? And at this point, with the guys we have, you have to be able to outshine them, right?
Yeah.
Because we'd have to remove one of our guys from the card. So if you can outshine them, then we'll bring you. But if you can't, which is very hard to do because Dad's watched these guys and he says that these guys that we have now are top-tier talents, which if they're listening to this podcast, I hope they are. Hats off to you and an applause for y'all because you're making strides, you know, in the right way in this wrestling business. There's guys, there's all kinds of independent talents. I've had from when I started majorly getting involved with it in about 2016, 2018, we'd get messages from Robbie. Never got to use Robbie. Great talent, but we had too many guys on our card, right? Brian Pillman started off with us. Where at the beginning of his career, Dad took Brian under his wing, where Brian wrestled on a lot of our cards and stuff, you know, and got to hang out with us and everything, you know. Listened to Dad. Dad gave him advice and everything of how he could better perfect himself.
Yeah.
But it's hard to be able to get on our inner circle of the guys that we use because you got to be the best of the best. And if you can't, and if you catch one of our eyes and we can see that with you, we'll try to give you an opportunity. But I'll even say this. There's some guys that message us who I'd love to give an opportunity to. Like, what's that guy that was with MJF? In MLW.
You had, it was
Richard
Alexander.
Holiday. Richard Holiday.
Yeah, it was Alexander Hamilton and Holiday because they were in a faction together.
Richard Holiday.
He's most marketable.
He's messaged us on our events, right?
Yeah.
I haven't been able to use him yet. I haven't found a spot on a card for him. But a guy that I would love to use.
Great talent.
Right.
Great talent.
It's just, you know, usually we're filled out with our card.
Yeah.
Love to eventually get him to come in and everything work out for us to have him at one of our events and stuff, you know. Because I can see he has what it takes. But even sometimes if you have what it takes, we're already filled up still, you know?
Yeah.
It's a series of unfortunate events.
I want to add this. If you're an independent wrestler and you are going to message World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling to try and get on the show, Dylan, the one thing I picked up on is you said a lot of, like when you said you get a lot of these messages, a lot of them come off as the same. I want to be on your show. Hey, I want to be on your show. Hey, I want to be on your show. If you want to stand out, make your message unique so that it pops in, you know, Dylan, your head or your father's head. Hey, this was a unique message. And then you look at it and you're like, oh, okay. So make your independent wrestlers, make your message or make the title in the email unique. You're going to get, it's going to stand out better for you.
Well, like we've had 4,000 people attend our events, right?
Yeah.
I know every independent wrestler out there saying, I'd love to get on these cards, right?
Yeah.
Make yourself unique. Make yourself – show us how valuable you are, you know?
Show us how different you are than the rest of the messages and stuff that we get.
Right.
That's like some of the best advice you can give is you got to make yourself stand out for us to be like, oh, wow. And I get that because if every message is the same – And I could, this is on something that I would do. If I got 100 messages and the title is all the same, hey, I want to come work for you. Hey, I want to come work for you. Hey, I want to come work for you. But if I get that one title that's not that and it stands out, I'm more likely to click on that title.
Right. You're like, well, what is this?
You know? Yeah. I'm more likely to click on that than the other 99 messages that I got that have the same title in them. On the emails. So
if Richard's listening to this, I see value in you. Would love to use you, and hopefully the stars align. There's other talents out there also that have messaged. I'd love to get to use them eventually, you know, and hopefully the stars align and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Just because we don't use you doesn't mean you don't have value. It just means, you know.
Hey, we filled up our show already.
Here's the issue with the wrestling business, right? I think you said it on your podcast the other week, which was a huge compliment. We're one of the top drawing, number one independent organizations in the United States, right?
Yeah, you guys are.
Yeah. Not everybody gets to be in WWE, unfortunately. Not everybody gets to be in AEW. Not everybody gets to get signed to contracts. And unfortunately, with us, not everybody gets to work for us.
Yeah.
You have to be the absolute best. Where we get – Dad's in constant contact with guys like Gabe Sapolsky, you know, who – I don't know if you know who much about Gabe Sapolsky, do you?
I know of his career.
He's a scout for WWE, where they send him out, where they take a look at the, you know, he takes
this
a look.
This I did not know.
Right. Dad's in contact with him, right?
Yeah.
What better place would you want to be at than a place where the guy that's one of the guys running the events is in contact with the guy that might, you know, I'm not saying that Dad has is one of the door openers for WWE, but he is in contact with their talent scout. So,
yeah,
you know, you never know who's watching you, you know,
I've it never could be a good foot in the door
guys, but. It might be, you know, working on one of our cards might be your open door to, hey, let's bring this guy down to the NXT developmental, you know, let's bring him down to the PC Center for a tryout. Let's see if he really has what it takes to, you know, be a WWE superstar. We've had guys go down there before, you know, great talents, you know, some of them have made it, some of them haven't, you know.
Yeah.
Some had a little bit more tweaking they had to do and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
but you know, you got to be your A game when you come work for us. You know, we're going to give you an opportunity. Yeah, you're not going to wrestle against most of the time another independent guy. You're usually going to wrestle against a guy who's been there, done that, got the T-shirt, got the hat, got all that other good stuff. You know.
Yeah.
And you're going to learn. You know.
Yeah.
It's not a. We're not backyard independent wrestling. There's a lot of those companies out there. Mud Show Wrestling, you know, the Cornette talks about. Yeah. We're, like you said, one of the top tier independent organizations in the United States, if not the top.
Yeah. So,
what more could you want as a guy that has aspirations to become the game of the business, you know, be the A game, being a WWE star or being all elite, you know, what more could you want than to get that foot in the door? And one of those ways to get that foot in the door is working for world-class and professional big time wrestling, you know,
100%.
Yeah.
And Dylan, we have one more thing of news to announce here on this show. And fans, if you've enjoyed having Dylan Hines of World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling on the last two episodes, Dylan and I have come to an agreement. Dylan's going to come on every other week, and we're going to do a show twice a month together. So you're going to get to hear about more shows with big time wrestling. You're going to get to hear about more guests at these shows and all the stuff that World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling has in store for you for 2025 and beyond. Dylan, this is fantastic news for wrestling fans all over the world to be able to get to hear about what big time wrestling is doing, shows that are coming up, guests that you have coming. It's incredible.
Plus, I'll say this, what I'm going to also do, we're going to have some guests from time to time. We've already talked to somebody who's, you know, Harvey Whippleman, I talked to him earlier, you know, he said he'd love to be able to come on, you know, and tell some of his stories. You know, he was really close with The Rock, even to this day, you know. Him and Rock are really good friends and stuff, where he's been part of the Young Rock that was on NBC, I believe it was.
Yep.
And involved with some of the other stuff that Rock's been involved with. And he said he'd love to come on, you know. And we're going to have some other guys, you know. But also, I want to try to watch some of this modern-day wrestling. I don't watch a lot of it nowadays. I say it like this. Police officers don't go home and watch live PD or cops, right?
Right, 100%.
And how involved with I've been with the wrestling business, my typical go-to shows I watch is Everybody Loves Raymond. I watch shows like that. I watch Two and a Half Men. I watch some sitcoms, you know. Sometimes yeah. I watch like some classics like Andy Griffith Show or Sanford and Son or something like that. Things that I can like get away from the world, you know, and just have a couple laughs and enjoy watching, you know, and stuff. Whereas I don't sit around and watch modern day product, but I'm going to try to get a little bit in tune with it. That way we can, you know,
we can talk about it.
Right. I can get my thoughts on what I'm seeing and stuff. Like, that was interesting yesterday. The Pentagon that came on the WWE yesterday. I believe that's his name, right?
Yeah, he goes by, I think he's Penta in WWE, but I always knew him as Pentagon Jr.
Right. He came on the WWE yesterday, but wasn't it interesting that they had that t-shirt get announced before he came on?
Yeah, they announced all his like new merch, and I'm not gonna lie, I actually bought the mask. And Dylan, the mask was $75.
Wow. But
their WWE did something different here, and I didn't realize it when I ordered the mask. Each mask is being custom made. And you want to know what my delivery date on the mask is?
When?
April 24th to April 30th, and I bought it on Monday.
Well, I'll say this then. Maybe the guy who makes the Mysterio mask is making these masks, you know?
Yeah. Which
maybe that guy will end up making the replicas of Mysterio's mask. Because I don't think they've ever been available either, have they?
At one time, I remember WWE was selling.
But were they customs? Were they like?
No, they weren't. Customs, they weren't. No, they were. About? They were just a mass produced.
Okay.
Mask and like. If like I even remember the material that it was made out of was really, really thin. So like the mask could rip really easy.
Right. So if it's the same guy that makes the Mysterio mask, I'll give a little backstory on him. He also made the mask for the Patriot. And he also made the mask for the Eagle, which if you, and I'll send you some pictures, but if you look at my uncle's mask, which he was the Eagle in Japan with Del Wilkes, the Patriot, some of the stuff from the Eagle mask later, you know, Mysterio has that Eagle, you know, on the Mysterio mask.
On like the sides or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of those Eagles match up where you can see that that Eagle was the same Eagle later on used for Mysterio's mask. So that was pretty cool enough to notice that. But maybe we're going to get to see some of these, you know, other guys, these masked wrestlers and stuff. Maybe their mask will be available, you know, handcrafted and everything. That's pretty cool. That means it's going to be, well, it should be anyway, per quality.
Yeah, it should be, you know, it should be pretty good quality because it said that they're custom made. So I was just like, oh, wow. And I didn't realize at first when I ordered it and I saw the delivery date and I was like, why would this take so long? And then it dawned on me, oh, they're literally like being handmade. They're not being like a mass produced by a machine or, you know, a thing like that. So it's really cool of WWE to do that. I was, you know, once I found out, I was pretty excited. And by the way, I actually made a post about this when it came to Penta. Across WWE socials on Instagram, Facebook, X, or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and YouTube, with those four combined, Penta's debut has over 26 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is gigantic. Wonder if that's the largest debut in the last little while since TKO has been involved.
Yeah, I'd have to say, yeah. I mean, I did the math. I went by, you know, I went down each post that they had that involved Penta on each social media platform, and it totaled to over 26 million views in under 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yeah, it completely is incredible.
You know, that's the machine that WWE is. That's what they do.
Right.
And I was excited for his debut. I'm glad you brought it up. I wanted to ask you about it, but then I didn't know how much modern wrestling you watch. And, you know, now that, you know, we're both going to be on this venture every couple of weeks.
I'll say this also, sorry to interrupt, but I'll say this also. I watched the first episode of Raw, and I'll say something, a couple of points that I liked. I liked them. I saw a lot of complaints about how the rings are now. I like the rings. It gives them a more legitimate feel to it, you know?
Yeah.
The rings with the screens and all that stuff was whatever, but these new rings and stuff is a completely different animal.
Right? Yeah.
And then I liked how I noticed in one of the matches when I was watching the first episode of Raw that the referee would go and give like a instructions, you know, before the match.
Oh, yeah.
If you noticed that, did you notice that? Like, he was talking to both the guys and stuff.
Yeah, and that's something you haven't seen in a long time.
I haven't done that in years. Bring them guys to the corner. Like, that's kind of some of the stuff we try to do on our events. Bring them guys to the center of the ring, you know. Give them instructions and stuff. It's like the boxing in MMA, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It gives that legitimate feel to it. Another thing I noticed when I was watching JCW Lunacy, and I want the fans' opinion. Are fans able to comment and write on this?
They'll be able to with posts on social media. They'll be able
okay.
to make
comments. I want to ask this. What is your thoughts on this? I saw this on JCW Lunacy. They were doing live commentary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the crowd could hear the commentary. Would the crowd like wrestling to have more of a feel like that, where they get to have that live commentary, or are they cool with how it is with the commentary is only for TV? I think the commentary where it's live is pretty freaking cool, and the reason being is my father promoted Huffman contest, which was off the street boxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he was doing it, he was the ring announcer for the events. And he would always like make comments like, who are you getting behind? Is it going to be the red or the blue? Mix it up, you know? And the crowd would be going, you know? And it'd get the crowd more involved, right? Yeah. Whereas we go to a modern day WWE event. I've went to a couple of events like WrestleManias and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd pops when the guys come out, right?
Yep.
Very little reaction during the match, and they pop at the end when the guy wins, right? Whoever
yeah.
wins.
Yeah.
But during the match, you're not seeing anything. I think the crowd would get more involved with those matches, right? With no one to cheer, with no one to boo, with no one to do their stuff.
Yeah.
With that live commentary, right? Where they're able to hear this guy's doing this, you know. They're able to get more behind that underdog, or they're able to, you know, hate more on that heel, you know, if they're hearing more to the match than, you know, just complete silence other than hearing the guys hitting the mat. Like, I went to WrestleMania in Dallas the first time. I went to both Dallas WrestleManias. But yeah. The first time that it was in Dallas, in the, like, last 10 years, you know, what year would that have been? Was it 16?
Yes, right, yeah.
2016. I went yeah. there, right? It was Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Walked in the building, right? There was no music or anything. I got there, like, kind of during the show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
During, like, I guess it was the pre-show or whatever. They were having Brock Lesnar wrestle against Dean Ambrose. Right,
yeah,
and all I kept hearing was the bump.
Yeah,
I guess they have the ring mic and stuff, you know. So I kept hearing like this cannon noise, right? Every time the guy would get bumped,
yeah,
it would go boom, boom, boom. But I wouldn't hear any reaction from the crowd until the very end, right?
Yeah,
Doesn't that kind of take away from it?
It does. And I'm going to say this as a fan who's gone to shows. Like, yeah. I've gone to WrestleMania. You don't hear the commentary. I went to WWE Night of Champions 2011. Mm-hmm. And it was in Buffalo, New York. And you could actually, because I remember, I was like, this is going to, and it was like the first pay-per-view I'd gone to. I'm in the front row. And my buddy and I were like, we're not going to be able to listen to commentary. This is going to kind of suck.
Yeah.
The venue was actually selling like this radio piece that you could put in your ear to listen to commentary.
Really?
Yes. And like I said, that was 2011. Since mm-hmm. then, I've been to house shows. I've got, you know, WrestleMania 39, WrestleMania 40. I've gone to Raw, SmackDown, NXT events, stuff like that. That's the only event that I've been to where they sell that earpiece to be able to hear commentary.
Right, because I've never seen that before.
I actually still think I have it up in my man cave, the little radio thing. And it's got like a WWE logo on it and stuff like that. And you're supposed to turn it to like this one specific channel to be able to hear commentary. And you can hear the commentary throughout the show. Wow. But that's the only time I've been to a show where that had been available. I don't know if it didn't sell well or whatnot, but it's the only time I've had that. I would absolutely love to be at WrestleMania and listen and be able to hear the commentary, or be, you know, at a Raw or a SmackDown and be able to hear commentary, because that is a big part of the show. And that's a big part of the show that when you're there live, you're missing.
Right.
Commentary helps make the show better. And I think
and the other thing is like at our events, right? We've talked about our events earlier.
Yeah.
Ours has that more of the old school feel, so we don't need the commentary, kind of. But if we did, I don't know what would happen with it. But with it, you know, without doing the commentary, how our events are already, it's got that old school feel. The crowd's usually involved. Our guys know how to get that heat and how to get that, you know,
yeah,
reaction they want to have throughout that match, instead of people being on their hands, you know what I'm saying? Like they are at a WWE event where they cheer at the beginning of the match, like when the guys are coming out and everything, and they cheer at the end when the guy, whoever wins, wins, or whatever happens, happens, you know, when that music hits.
Yeah.
But there's no reaction, you know, during it. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but that's my experience of it. Isn't it yours? Where?
No, that's been my experience too. And like I said, at Night of Champions, when, you know, that little radio thing, it was amazing. It made it better. You know, it made it like, you know, because to be able to hear the commentary while watching the match, you know, their excitement gets you excited. And,
right,
you know, without that, if the, you know, if they're in the ring and, you know, they're not helping, you know, if the wrestler's not helping draw themselves heat, or if they're not like, right, you know, have it like the
tag team. Or something special is not happening where, like, for example, like Rock wrestling, when Rock got finally tagged into the match night one of WrestleMania 40. Crowd popped, right? Yeah. But unless something like, not every match is going to have that special moment. Like, it's not going to have a moment like a run in or any of that where a crowd's going to react to that, you know. But they're not reacting to the match, still they're reacting to that part,
that moment, know? Yeah,
right.
Or like, you know, in certain matches, you'll get like that big move where the crowd goes nuts and they're chanting, "Holy shit, holy shit." Those don't happen every match, and they can't happen every match.
Or it gets boring.
Yes, yes. You know, you can't. There's a certain excitement level, and you do have to have certain matches that are like a come down match before, like, you know, the main event or like a big match that you know that's going to happen. But they still got to be able to, you know, get a crowd reaction. And if there's no crowd reaction, you're just kind of like, what did I go out there and do, and why did I do it? No one cheered. No one booed. It was like no one cared. I feel like you need to have that commentary, you know, with, you know, especially with like a WWE event.
Like they reacted, like we were talking about the reactions, like WrestleMania 40 night two, where Undertaker came in, all them guys came in. That the commentary could have been a little bit toned down. But if, and I could say that in some matches where like that can tone that should be able to know how to tone it up, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
Or tone it down, depending where that crowd is during that match or that, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And depending where the moment that you're looking for is mm-hmm. for that, you know.
Because you should be able to know, let these guys have this moment here where they can say, holy shit, it's The Undertaker, right?
Yeah.
But then that's it. On that, let the crowd get that natural reaction into The Undertaker's here, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if a match is a popcorn match, for example, that's what they call them, get the commentators more involved with it. Where if that guy who went to go get popcorn, make it where he eventually says, man, instead of this popcorn, screw it, I'm going to go back and watch the rest of this match, because apparently it's, you know, exciting. Oh, yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times that has actually happened to me, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get food. This is this isn't anything exciting. And then you're out there and then you hear the crowd going nuts and you're like, oh, why did I get in line?
Right.
You know, and it happens. But yeah, I think as far as like, you know, a live WWE event or a pay-per-view, things like Raw and SmackDown, you need the commentary. You do, you know, mm-hmm. because they help bring that excitement level, because a WWE match, you know, is not the same as an AEW match. An AEW match is not the same as a TNA match.
No.
To me, you still got to have the commentary, you know, with those, you know, with the situations, you know, the big spots in matches. If they don't have the big spots in matches, then you kind of need the commentary, you know, to pick it up for the match, to make you want to be excited about the match, I feel like.
Right.
So, I'm on your side with that. I feel like you need to have the commentary, you know, for those feel good moments and, you know, for the crowd reactions and things like that, because there's a lot of times there's it's dead sound.
Yeah. And when the crowd's dead silent, it doesn't help the match progress any better. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't help the match. It doesn't help the quality, you know, that you're watching on TV. You know,
it doesn't even help the guys that are in the ring, because, you know, sometimes they're listening for that crowd reaction to go for the next thing. If they're not getting any crowd reaction, then, you know,
how's it going to be when they go through the curtain?
Right.
They have people to answer to.
And honestly, I'll say this also. If they're not getting a crowd reaction, then what's going on with the product? Because that's not a good sign if, you know, guys aren't getting reactions. But also, on the other hand, you kind of have to give them a little bit of an assist, you know, with the commentary. It helps out a little bit. Like, I've went to Hornets games, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have things that help the crowd react, right? Like, during the game, you can hear a little bit of the commentary and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I've went to college games and stuff and seen similar stuff. It would help out so much if you could get a little bit of that, you know, you could hear somebody commentating on what you're watching.
Yeah.
The other thing was about crowd reactions. My father was wrestling for WCW in the early 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
During that time, they had some mascot. Do you know what I'm talking about for WCW?
I don't really remember a mascot, but
yeah, it was like a wolf or a Cody or something.
Yeah, I don't really remember
that. Wildcat Willie. Wildcat Willie. That's what they called him. Wildcat Willie.
Okay, I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, but they had Wildcat Willie during the matches. Wildcat Willie be doing his tricks and flips and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But they told Dad, and I think it was Tommy or it was my uncle, or it was somebody teaming with my dad. They were told during most of the other matches, we have to have him doing all his little tricks and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Wildcat Willie loves y'all, because when y'all go out, he don't have to do all that. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm not saying have live commentary for every, like, single bit of every single match, right? But when the guys need that help, that extra edge to it, you know?
Let the commentators be heard.
Right.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's some matches, like we're talking about, the main events on both nights of WrestleMania 40, night one and two, you know, didn't need that. They could have used a little bit of commentary just to be able to figure out what was going on here and there. But there was enough big moments where it didn't have to be the entire single match.
Yeah.
And maybe they would have to hire some more commentators or something where they would just be like the live commentators compared to the TV commentators.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe there'd be a way to do that. But, you know.
Where, like, you're hearing the commentators for, like, on TV, and then you have the separate commentators for the live stuff. That would be interesting.
Which I believe there's enough whatever nowadays, technology and stuff, you know?
I'm sure it's possible. They could do that
without them other commentators possibly being heard.
Yeah. I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I went to Night of Champions and I was able to listen to commentary through like a little, it's like a little, it just like an in-ear, like mm-hmm. radio almost. And you had to put it to like 92.1 or something like that.
Right. Plus with you being the number one podcast United States, right? Maybe one of them are going to hear this episode and say, you know what? This is an excellent idea we never thought about. Maybe we're going to eventually see it in a month or 6 months or a year from now, you know, on
WWE Raw or something. Yeah.
And then we're going to be able to say, hey, guys, we were the ones who, you know,
we did that
better on this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, we did that. You're welcome, guys. You're welcome, by the way.
Of course, we won't get no money from it or anything, but somebody might hear it and say, you know what? This is an excellent idea.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I can see that happening, to be honest with you. I think it'd be really cool for WWE to do something like that, or TNA or AEW, one of those bigger companies to pick that up. And I think it's a good idea because, like I said, you know, you're at those live events and there's a certain aspect and feel where you're excited and stuff like that. But then you realize in the middle of the wrestling, you're like, what's missing? And then it dawns on you. You're not hearing commentary.
Because I'll be honest with you. A lot of people, like we were talking about, a lot of people didn't hear me the other week, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. 2016, that event in that December, right? Sting and I were sitting alone in an area, like a green room kind of area, you know, just talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him a couple of questions, right? Never told anybody about this conversation, like a full in depth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like someone was recording something where we were at or something. Where the next week, guess what? It seemed like our entire conversation was on TMZ, where they were talking about, is Sting going to return? Sting interested in doing this, or Sting interested in doing that, or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It was like somebody recorded our entire conversation. So, like I said, maybe a month, 6 months, a year from now, Netflix Raw, hey guys, right here. Now, I want your thoughts on this before we get off here, you know?
Yeah.
That's fully immersive, like, I guess it's virtual or something, you know, that they're going to be introducing. Have you heard about this? WWE is supposed to be introducing some, like, thing at different, like, arenas and stuff for, like, pay-per-views.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, it's CBSM or something, I think it was called. We'll look it up real quick. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. CDSM.
I mean, I know WWE's always like essentially reinventing things and really this deal with Netflix, the presentation and everything of WWE Raw has come off like 1,000 times better as compared to the USA Network.
Mm-hmm.
Like the production value has gotten so much better.
The first one, I believe it's for the Royal Rumble. So I'm going to see here if it talks about it on here.
See, I know I saw something where that WWE was doing like some sort of like almost kind of like meet and greets almost with certain superstars. I'm pretty sure Cody was one of them that was listed.
Right here. There, it's called I got the wrong thing. It's called COSM or COSM, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It said that on January 9th, 2025, WWE announced a multi-year deal with COSM, in which select WWE pay-per-view and live streaming events will be broadcast from COSM's shared reality immersive 87-foot diameter LED domes with locations in LA and Dallas. Similar to Las Vegas Sphere, WWE's first event to be broadcast from COSM's domes will be the 2025 Royal Rumble. What is your thoughts on that?
It's innovative. It's something new.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how well it works for them.
Right.
Because I think that if it works well, I think you'll see more of it.
And they've used it in 2024. It's been used for NFL, NBA, and UFC. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes, you know.
Yeah. I'd have to see how it worked for, you know, look at something with UFC, especially because, you know, UFC, WWE are tied in through TKO. So, I mean, that almost doesn't surprise me that they're doing that.
Right. I think we're going to see a lot of stuff that goes with UFC, like as a test product, you know, and then WWE picks it up or vice versa.
Because one of the things I've noticed since, you know, the WWE-UFC merger with TKO is you're seeing a lot more WWE stars at UFC events, and you're seeing more UFC stars at WWE events.
Right.
You know, that whole cross-promoting thing, and it's working for them. So,
right.
You know, if it works for the Royal Rumble with that, I mean, that's a big screen too. So, like, you know, they always say bigger is better, I guess. You know, everything's bigger in Texas, and, you know, if they're doing one in Texas.
Which reminds me of when WWE and I think Crockett used to do the, what was it called? Not satellite, but.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they had a word for it.
Yeah. And of course, I can't think of it now.
Yeah. They used it for like the first several WrestleManias. We'll look it up.
Yeah, because they were in different, you know, the WrestleMania was broken up in three parts in three different cities, like the first three, I think it was.
Right. Production.
Yeah.
Hold on. See if it's on here. Advertise.
Oh, God, I wish I always hate when, you know, the word slips my head.
Closed circuit.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So yes. They used to do closed circuit. Maybe this is like their new version of doing closed circuit, where these larger events are going to get to have the, you know, people in other cities are going to be able to watch this stuff in like a crowd of people also, you know, which that'll be very cool, you know, which maybe WWE will be able to like zoom over to, with all the technology they got nowadays, zoom over to these places where these people are watching it, kind of like how they used to do.
Yeah.
Like draft of, I haven't really watched NFL draft in years, but when I did a couple times, I saw like they had like footage of people at their homes and stuff when they got announced for the draft. Well, maybe show like people like react, their reactions, you know, to certain things from these different arena closed caption type places, you know.
Yeah. And like I remember they had done stuff in like movie theaters at one point too, to be able to watch, you know. I think it's a good idea, you know, because you're bringing fans together.
Mm-hmm.
For like, even though they're watching on a screen, you're bringing fans together. And I think that's kind of something special there, to be honest with you.
You don't get to be there, but you get to, you know,
you don't get
that arena feel. You still get that.
Yeah. You still get that feeling, even though you're not there, but it gives you the feeling that you're there.
Yeah, which I think they said like the highest tickets could be like $150 or whatever, but still, that's pretty cool. That, you know,
it's a neat experience.
Yeah,
it really is. You know, whether you do it one time or you go multiple times, it's an experience. And I always love the experience, you know, that you get out of, you know, going to shows and everything like that. And speaking of that, fans, you're going to get a great experience Saturday, March 8th with
Facebook labeled it actually talking about experience. They called it on there when they were helping us with like our Facebook like promotional stuff, you know,
yeah,
like, stuff. They actually deemed it this. Get they have like multiple ways you can word things and stuff, you know.
Yep.
It said, "Get ready for the ultimate wrestling experience," which is the truth, you know. And where it says, I'll just go ahead. It says, "Join us on Saturday, March 8th, Chillicothe, Ohio, at the OUC Shoemaker Center for World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling's Reunion 4 All Mankind, presented by Double D's Auction House and Rent to Own Fan Fest Autograph Session, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Exclusive Q&A with Mick Foley, premium ticket holders only, 5 to 6 p.m. Live Pro Wrestling Super Show, 6:30 p.m. You know, and some of those guys you're going to see there is Mick Foley, Kevin Von Erich, Hillbilly Jim, Honky Tonk Man, over 30 wrestling personalities from the past, future, you know, today. Whether they're Hall of Famers, legends, superstars, you know, all under that one, you know, place. Like Hillbilly Jim said, "Well, how close is the autograph signing location from the wrestling show location?" I said, "Well, Hillbilly, it's the same location." You know, so you don't have to hop in the car if you don't want to. We'll have concessions there and stuff, so you don't have to hop in the car if you don't want to. You could be there all day long. By the way, the concessions, if you get hungry, the food is for a fundraiser for the DARE program, the local DARE program, and the First Capital Recovery and Counseling, which, unfortunately, if they didn't, you know, listen when they were doing DARE class, you know, it helps out those people who are trying to get their life back on track and stuff, you know, as well with the First Capital Recovery and Counseling. But, yeah, heck of an event, you know, great event. I wanted to add one more thing about that closed captioning thing that we've talked about, the okay, whatever they call it, closed circuit. I think it's a great revenue for this as well. We didn't mention this. Merchandise selling, you know, if you can't go to the arena, they can sell their merchandise at these other venues, you know, when they're people yeah, are attending it. You got new concession sales. I don't know how WWE does their concessions, but, you know, food's going to have to be sold, beer and all that stuff's got to be sold.
Yeah.
They're going to have to sell, you know, you could sell merchandise. So they can sell their t-shirts and all that stuff just like they were at the arena. The only difference is it's, you know, at this new place. So,
yeah, absolutely. Dylan, I want to thank you for coming on. Fans, we broke all sorts of news tonight, from, you know, for big time wrestling to Dylan and I are going to be doing a show every couple of weeks together now. So you can hear more about big time wrestling shows coming up and other wrestling news. Dylan, thank you for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. And fans, as always, remember, spoiler freeze, the way to be. We're out.
Thanks so much for having me.